What is happening, everybody? It is PGA DFS time. I had to bring it back because, well, my good buddy, my friend over there, Eric, he's getting married this weekend. So we've got to bring in all the dad jokes, all of it, because, well, we all know life ends in 4 days for Eric. No, I am just kidding. It only begins. Life gets better after you're married. Luckily, my wife is working right now, so I won't get in trouble unless she's catching the show. Eric, if your fiance is watching, I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. I promise it gets better. We are here today to talk about the Houston Open, Memorial Park, second straight year we're here at this course, and we're here to thank Prize Picks as well. Eric, you let me know something that Prize Picks puts all of their golf stuff out on Wednesday after they get through all the withdrawals, and we've had a big withdraw this week already. Carlos Ortiz, defending champ, not going to be playing, withdrew a couple hours ago. He had been hurt, so I'm kind of glad that that happened. Now, back to Prize Picks, our sponsor. So what I'm going to do, Eric, is I'm going to set the line that I think Prize Picks will tomorrow. And you and I are going to pick the over-under for two golfers, although you can go all the way up to five at Prize Picks. It is prop bets over there. And you can get 10x your money if you pick all five right. And here's the other catcher. You can pick cross-sport props. I love that. So we're going to mix in a little Patrick Reed, Brooks Koepka, along with the Thursday night football game passing yard. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay.
And of course, first deposit, $100. If you use promo code Osmo, matched on your first deposit only there. So, all right, Eric, here's my line for Memorial Park, round one only, 68.5. That's 1.5 under par for Koepka and for Reed. I don't want to go Sam Burns here. He's your guy. 68.5, Koepka, Reed. Tell me if you're taking the over under.
God, pretty efficient line, wouldn't you say?
Man, you know, I've done this once or twice.
Yeah, okay. So I would stay away from those, and I would just go to Prize Picks, and I would take the less than Patrick Kane 0.5 goals, considering he's a plus 160 around the industry. So I would add that to the fray. NHL, the one sport that I don't cover here at Osmo, but I do love playing it when I have the ability to. And then college basketball is back today.
Oh, dude, I love college.
I am stoked, beyond stoked. College basketball, DFS projections, completely free. Matt Gajewski. Yeah. I've always thought of him as a college basketball guy, which is weird because now I do all the NFL and college football shows. And, you know, I think it's just from years of watching him cover college basketball. I feel like that's his baby and what he covers the best. And we have right now, if you look at the projections, 16.3 points for Armando Bacot. He's going to be stud here for North Carolina. 14.5 points is that line. Give me the over on that one. First game out, Loyola, Maryland. Best of luck to you guys. You're going to get murdered.
So you don't want to touch Reed and Koepka's line at all with any of those?
No.
Okay, fair enough. That's fine. It's too
would
good.
You?
I think Patrick Reed is starting to come into his own, yeah. And I think Koepka's week last week was overshadowed by the putter. I don't know if you saw, but it was late. He was three under. He was on 14, and he had a three-footer that he hit 12 feet by. I mean, come on now. I mean, if you don't want to play the weekend, don't show up. But anyways, that's another story for another time. Let's get into some Houston Open talk. A little bit of that was one of my recap of last week. The Mexico recap was Brooks Koepka totally blew the cut, did not want to stay the weekend. Hovland defends, Gooch tanks. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Ortiz injured, which I just brought up. He withdrew from this week's event. How about this, though? JJ Spahn goes bogey, bogey, bogey.
God.
To kill my top 10 and 20 bet. Unbelievable to finish the event. And last, we did have a pretty good week, though. Profitable Joaquin Niemann, Justin Thomas, Victor Hovland, obviously winning. The other two guys come in the top five. Really profitable week for us here. We love to see that. Could have been much better. Carlos Ortiz over Gary Woodland would have won us all the monies. Now, what's going to win us all the monies this week? Well, it's 132 players. Not one golfer ranked inside the top 10, so we're going to have to do some digging to find some good plays. It is a Brooks Koepka designed golf course, at least a redesign, if you will. Lots of missed greens and fairways. Scrambling was difficult. It kind of does set up like a, say, mini U.S. Open kind of venue, given the fact that it's at Memorial Park, a municipal course. So tell me what you know about Memorial Park, and if you don't know much, I'll try and fill it in for you.
I know a number of things. I will say, number one, welcome to our golf course, 500-yard plus par four right out of the gate, from what I understand. And that's not very fun to start off your round of golf. I didn't see if they're going to be doing split times. I'm assuming they are because it's a full field event. But, you know, just in terms of talking showdown from the get-go, that's the first thing I do is I look at the scorecard and see if there's any kind of a deal with the turn. Well, I'm going to say no, considering 18 is the third hardest hole on the golf course. Then you've got that one, number one, lingering there. So, yeah, you're better off just playing the guys that tee off of one, I would say, per usual. So I'm going to be looking at that a little bit. But how can you not love... How could you not love a golf tournament in Houston on this grass type with one Sam Burns? I don't know. It feels like just the lock of all locks, right?
It does. And my notes say Sam Burns should win by 69 shots this week. Maybe not that many, but certainly he is setting up to be one of the best plays. Last thing on Memorial Park is a par 70, 7,400 yards. I will be the first to tell you I made a mistake last year. I thought it was going to be a par 72 because that's what, if you and I showed up to play, that's what it would be. However, you just mentioned the first hole goes from a short par five to one of the hardest holes on the course, just a long par four. A couple of times we've seen that too. Pebble Beach, number two for the Opens, number two plays a par four, ends up playing as one of the hardest holes on the course. For the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, it plays a par five. So sometimes that just happens. It depends on how the course is set up. So anyways, three par fives, five par threes. I believe that's how we get to the par 70, which is another interesting note there.
Yeah. And I will say you have a 240 yard. What is it? Where is it at? Where is it at? Yeah. Number 11 is 237. Have fun with that one too. You get some beastly golf holes, but it's a good mixture. You have two par threes that are, you know, under 170 that they can't really even extend beyond an 8-iron for all of these guys. So I will be kind of looking at a little bit of that some mid iron play kind of being something that values pretty well. 216, number seven. I mean, it's about standard for these dudes at this point in time where they're going to see one or two par threes that are just set up ridiculously hard. But yeah, definitely going to be two of the three hardest golf holes for sure.
No doubt. And Brian, I appreciate the note. Eric and Tyler both loved my mustache as well. I'll give
a mustache you a question.
Yeah. Well, I did try and tailor it after a famous
adult star
hero. Yeah, superhero. Okay. Nope, superhero. Is on my wall, but I don't think you can see it because I've moved over. I'm building out my office, so I've moved over my spot. You can't quite see this superhero, but it is Doctor Strange, if anyone was trying to guess. Anyways, let's move on to talk about some golfers, Eric. Why don't we? Since this is what our friends are tuning in for here. Top plays, we mentioned Sam Burns winning by 69. Here's one thing, though, I wanted to mention before we talk about any others. Seven golfers above 10,000 this week on DraftKings. Seems like they're trying to make it a point of interest, at least in this fall swing, to have six or seven golfers priced up above 10K. Do you like this new pricing?
Yeah, this is great. Like, this is really fun. I mean, I don't want to just be able to jam in the same kind of lineups. Like, for me, the worst feeling sometimes in DFS is when you have to be giving up, like, a lot of win equity. When you have to drop, in order to reduce ownership, you're just playing substantially worse plays. But now everybody's got to find some value. And I think that that's part of what makes DFS interesting is solving different puzzles. And, you know, every single golf tournament presents its own. But if you make that entire, like, from Finau to Tyrell Hatton, if you make them too cheap and you make Sam Burns like 10-8, 10-5, it becomes a lot of the same builds. And it becomes a lot of it's so hard to get away from doing some of that. So I enjoy golf tournaments where they basically say, hey, you want to play some studs, some guys who, you know, are going, 15, 20 to one for outrights in the market that are going 4-5 to 1 for top tens. Like, if you really want to be playing these guys and you want to be getting those studs, you got to pay for it. And you got to be playing some real doldrum talent at the bottom end. So I do like when you get more of the concentrated 10K pricing. I think that it definitely also gravitates people towards some of the same plays in the 10K range where you can then find some value. And I think last week, you know, it was so clear cut. Think about last week. We had three guys. We had said on the Tuesday show, I said it again on Wednesday with Ben, we all had the same idea where it was like, how do you get away from playing JT, Victor Hovland, and, you know, how do you get away from playing these dudes in bulk? You just play them in bulk, and that's going to work out more times than it's not. I don't think you get that this week.
No, and obviously, you know, Burns maybe eventually will be as good as Hovland, JT, but they were clear cuts away the best players in the field. Now, a couple of other guys that maybe we do want to play with Burns this week. Let's start with the low-owned golfers above 10K. Ty Hatton, Tony Finau, and Scotty Scheffler. Scheffler getting a ton of love this week. He didn't play great, and he wasn't high. I shouldn't say he didn't play great. He did play pretty good last week. Had one of those really low rounds that kind of bothers you from time to time. But stuck it out, grinded it out. I think he got a top five. Did you expect him to come in at 10-9 this week above, say, Sungjae Im, Tony Finau? It just seems like an overprice, and because of that, ownership's going to be low.
Well, I mean, I expected it. You're going to Texas. You're playing on Bermuda. These are things that are going to gauge very, very nicely for him. And if you make him 10K, he becomes the chalk like crazy. So I'm happy he's up at 10-9 coming off of fourth. I'm happy about it because you're going to see Sam Burns have his ownership reduced as the effect. And again, we're talking Bermuda grass. We're talking about fast green complexes. We're talking about green complexes that are 7,000 square feet plus. The rough is not long. Every box is checked for Sam Burns this week. If you see a lineup for me, I mean, I don't want to say lock button, but I mean, it's going to really probably be hard to get away from one of those two in pretty much every single build for me. I will say, I talked about this being dissimilar to last week, but yet I'm kind of taking the approach where, I can definitely see better results for the guys of Sungjae Im, Tony Finau, Cameron Smith, Hatton, the rest of this 10K range. I like how I just skipped over Matt Wolf. Sorry about that guy, I think that might have been on purpose or, kind of just what I believe. But here we go. The rough being short and having Bermuda grass and
well,
having
how short is it though?
Complexes. Let's, 2.25. 2.25 is what I saw.
I would say that's above average, wouldn't you, for a PGA Tour event?
What is the average? I mean, but on
average
Bermuda,
is about an inch and a half.
Inch and a half? Okay. Well, then that's great. I mean, he's a driving machine, so that's make it harder on people.
I agree.
I will say, and I'm looking relative. We have 1 year of data here. Let me pull up relative to other golf courses, because again, I have this on hand. I'm a professional here. So driving accuracy average tour event rate around 62%, 54.5% of fairways hit here. So you're seeing driving accuracy a little bit harder to be hitting fairways. But for me, it really comes down to what happens when you do miss fairways, because sometimes you'll have that be a noisy stat because you'll have such easy fairways to hit on one golf course as opposed to another, or people will just not care about hitting fairways. They just want to bomb it out there as far as possible. So you have to always kind of keep a little bit of that in mind. But the average driving distance out here, 296.2, the ball's running out quite a bit. We're in November down there in Tyler's part of the country. Hello, producer Tyler. But 282.5 is the average tour distance. So the ball's going out further. Generally, that to me just implies that you're allowed to hit more drivers, that you don't have to be as specific. And then as a result, the driving accuracy is down. I just think that generally for me is going to show that hitting the fairway isn't as important on this week than a given week.
All right, so it's a municipal golf course. What does that mean? Okay, well, we know that some municipal golf courses could be difficult. I don't want to take that away from it. Torrey Pines sets up as one of the more difficult.
So good.
It's a great golf course. Here's the thing, though. Off the tee, it's pretty much the same as what we're going to see this week. Take driver everywhere. There's not a lot of trouble off the tee, I guess is what I'm trying to say. That's what you get with municipal courses. So again, I would lean distance here. Funny enough, with Sam Burns last year, he was the only golfer in the top 10 to lose strokes short game and lose strokes putting of anybody in the top 10. He gained so many more strokes ball striking than everybody else last year here. It wasn't even funny. He should have won the tournament. Obviously, Carlos Ortiz gained 95 strokes on and around the green. That's now, that's my next question. Yeah, let me ask you the next question. We know that only 63% of the greens are hit this year, so below average, below the tour average. And scrambling is actually tougher. Now, maybe not putting. Once we're on the surface, it's pretty easy. But around the green, surfaces are difficult. Is this a week where you do bump up guys that are good around the green? Because we don't use it very often. We really don't.
Yeah. I think it just really depends. Because, I mean, you can get
or take the other side, too. Sorry, take the other side of that. Yeah.
Kevin Na is the main example that always comes to mind whenever I analyze this. Kevin Na, when he hits the ball well, is generally not seeing that much of a benefit. He's pretty flat in the ball striking department all the time. What happens is that he gets these spike putter weeks and they're just outrageous. And then his short game is always like going to be something where he's gaining around constantly. Short game is generally something. Look at Victor Hovland. I mean, his chipping stats from last year, everything that you want to talk about for that. He self-proclaimed, "I suck at chipping." Chipped the ball pretty decent.
He looked incredible last week, and that's why he won, though.
He was awesome. Completely different technique, too, by the way. So well done by him. Well done by putting that together. standing a little bit further away from it, giving himself the ability to be an athlete rather than just statically trying to force the ball out there. And I always think just more fluid motion is going to always win in the long run, as long as you're not chopping down on it, which is kind of what his MO was before. But I'm now feeling pretty confident that when you look at a golf tournament like this, where you're able to go bomb it, the reason that short game is going to be important is just, you know, eventually you're going to short side yourself in some of these spots. And Bermuda grass, there's so many different factors that go into it, but like, I just got to be thinking that I want pure ball strikers more so. And I'm hoping that they have a good week around the greens, because I don't think like bumping up people who are good around the greens is necessarily going to be the recipe for success here.
Now, doesn't I think that's like a, it. No, it's a great point. Gooch, we had a couple of other guys in the top 10 here last year, Johnson, for example, that are not that great on and around the green and had a great week and ended up in the top 10. Now, let me ask you two sets of questions. I want to talk about Ty Hatton. But first, since we're on this topic, how about the reverse side of it? Joaquin Niemann is awful around the green and has not gotten any better. Great week last week. You and I were both on him, 7,800. We didn't care about ownership. One of those, like, who cares? He's priced too low. 9,500 and needs to use around the green this week. He's a fade for me. As much as I like his form coming in, I think that'll keep him out of the top 15 this week, maybe even top 20. I'm not going to say he's going to miss the cut, but I don't like him for something to win here this week. And at 9,500, you better hope that you're going to get a top 10, and I don't think we're getting it from him.
He's tough. He's really, really tough, because until last week, and again, we were in love with him last week, we basically said you could flip him and Mito and I wouldn't know a difference between them. So I'll take the cheaper guy either way. Yep. And it worked out perfectly. I would say most things that we did last week worked out pretty darn well, except for me not betting Victor Hovland at 15-16 to 1 for whatever reason. I'm just a dunce cap, even though I was looking at trying to hit on some longer plays once again, but the DFS week was still really nice and could have been outrageous if we could have just gotten a little bit. It's weird. JJ Spahn was in my best lineup too, which is ironic, sub 2%. And, you know, I had a little bit over the field, well, a lot over the field, but a little bit over 10% of him. And that could have been very, very nice. But I'm looking at the board here now, Joaquin Niemann. It looks like a number of projection sites, ours included, are down on him. But yet we have him projected for around 15% ownership. One of those two things doesn't make sense to me. Either he's going to come in a lot lower than that, and I think I want to have interest, or you do hit the eject button because he's got it's a recency bias. You want to be hitting eject on a guy who just got done having a great week. And as you said, like, you know, again, pure ball striking on a golf course like this, maybe, you know, driving will not matter as much. It looks like guys are hitting it out there further. There's getting some roll out of it. And, you know, if you're talking 2.25 being a little bit longer than the tour average there, you know, some of these guys who aren't necessarily bombers, they're going to be in play. They're still going to have great opportunities for it. Joaquin Niemann, we know the kind of ball striking pedigree he has and what he's proven to have out on tour. But I'm just gonna have to pay really close attention to that ownership. As you said, 111th in strokes gained around the green amongst this field in the last 50 rounds. That's piss poor.
That's the key.
That's piss poor. Yeah. So,
on a golf course, players in the field.
Yeah. 53% as opposed to 57%, which is the tour average in terms of up and downs. You're seeing a 4% dip. That's substantial, actually. Like, I think that when you're talking about 125 golfers, 150 golfers in these kind of fields, and you get that kind of data to spread out that much, there's definitely something to it. So I'm going to keep a careful eye on him because I want to play him. I just like playing him when I think he's going to be lower owned than he should be. But something tells me that you're right. I think there might be some recency bias there.
Yeah, 71% of his greens last week and looks like maybe eighth or ninth best putting in the field. He's going to need to do that exact same thing again, but we're not getting him for 7,800, getting for 9,800. All right, let's talk about Ty Hatton before we move on. Decent week last week. His form has been simmering. This week, in my opinion, and I think you're going to take the same route, a lot easier off the tee where he can struggle. So as one of the low-owned guys, do you like Finau or Hatton above 10K for your low-owned play?
For my low-owned play, I mean, this is hard.
You can pick Scheffler too if you want to.
That's who I was going to pick. I was going to say, if I'm going to go to the 10K range, for me, Sam Burns, priority number one. Everybody knows my love for this guy. I believe in him. We're on Bermuda, which I mean, he just turns and he goes Super Saiyan on the world, and there's nothing you can do to stop it.
There we go. There it is.
You're welcome. And then Scotty Scheffler, 10-9. Yeah. Why not? Why not a little Dragon Ball Z? So then Scotty Scheffler would be my priority number two. I think he's going to come in actually under 10%. And I actually just think he's way better than, you know, a lot of these guys in the range. Sung JM at 20%, I have no interest. Tony Finau, 10-6. If he ends up around 10%, I'll have interest. Matthew Wolf, I'll never have interest. Cameron Smith, that really is kind of a tough ask, but you want to talk about somebody who can get it rolling and be somebody really effective around the greens. I mean, he's top 20 in the field here, last 50 round strokes gained around the greens. So amongst that top tier, but Finau's up there too. That's kind of surprising to see 15th. That is a really shocking
because
number
you get
to
the
kind of
ball
see
striking
there.
With Finau too. It's just you get no putter. Obviously, we all know that by now.
Yeah, he needs to claw it in there. I'm getting back to Hatton. Yeah. Long way of addressing the rest of the range.
Yeah,
Hatton is somebody that at 12%, you know, you talk about looking at his data, and I'm just pulling up everything here now. You know, off the tee, he's generally been stronger in that department amongst the other guys. Cameron Smith, Matthew Wolf seem like they'll
definitely
benefit a little bit more comparatively. Yep. Tyrrell Hatton, 25th in this field, 5th with strokes gained approach. For me, the reason that I like playing Hatton more than the average person is because the irons can get so hot. And it's just think about this logically. If you're going to make more birdies, you got to hit the ball closer to the hole. Done. End of story, period. That's really what it is. We all have those friends that go out and spray it everywhere, but then hit it inside 20 feet and make the putt. And we know who they are. They suck, but that's what they do. Tyrrell Hatton's that guy. And he will be the guy who can just get so hot with irons, make a bunch of birdies. So I do like him at his current ownership there. As long as that kind of maintains, I'll have more interest in him than Wolf and Finau. Man, yeah, I'm going to have to take a deeper look into Finau now, but under 10%, that would be probably my favorite play. I'd probably prioritize him over Scotty Scheffler at this point.
I figured you might come to that conclusion seeing Finau's ownership, and it is very intriguing given the fact that Finau hasn't really played bad. Maybe he hasn't played great since his win, but he certainly hasn't missed a cut. So yeah, I do like Finau. Ty Hatton, I think is probably my pick for the low owned. I do like Cam Smith. In fact, I'll pair them two together in quite a lot of lineups this week for me. I think that's a good combination.
Who and who? Who did you say?
Ty Hatton and Cam Smith.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
Yep. I think those two pair well. And then I would like to pair Finau with Sam Burns. I think they have a complimentary set. Maybe going to be a little, you know, sly on Sung J.M. I know when he gets on these runs, it kind of comes to, you know, it doesn't come to a stop quickly. So that's one I'm going to have to play. 20% though, man, that's going to be tough for me to do. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go into our next section, who to fade. And before we do that though, if you aren't able to catch us, so you aren't able to fully pick up who Eric and I are fading from this, one of the ways you can do it is check out our Pro Plays tool, part of our premium package here at Osmo. And of course, you can get your first week of Osmo Platinum 25% off by using PGA Strategy Show as your promo code. And we've got a couple of free things going on today. You already mentioned college basketball projections for Matt Kajewski. Awesome stuff. Check it out. Free today. With college basketball starting tonight, this is when you get in. And normally the easy money, I guess we can call it easy money. No, nothing is easy in DFS, but the easier money to be made is, of course, the opening few nights. So check it out. A couple of other free tools, our top golfers tool for PGA, the player rankings for NHL, and player rankings for NBA, all free today. Check them out. All right, so now the who to fade section. Let's start off right at 9-9 since we're going down the salary board a bit. Let's start off with 6% owned Brooks Koepka. What's the point in fading him? In my opinion, as much of a fraud as I think he is in PGA Tour events, not majors, PGA Tour events, he either wins, comes in last, or misses the cut. There's literally no in-between for me. Might as well just play him at 6% owned and hope I get the win. And I'll bet him at 30-1 too. Why not? Let's just play Brooks Koepka this week.
I think he's the epitome of if I'm not in contention, I'm not going to grind out your top 10. Sorry.
Right. That's the thing. Right. I don't care about top 10s. I care about a last place, a miscut, or a win. That's it.
How many events do we have left in the season?
One after this.
One more after this. Is he playing?
No, he's not playing RSM.
Yeah.
No,
so then I'm going to definitely have interest at 6%. I mean, he won't play competitive golf again until January. So
yeah,
I think that makes it pretty intriguing to me is to maybe play a little bit of him, just considering it's going to be the last tournament out. Yep. I don't know. Even if you just are hell-bent against trying in a regular PGA Tour event. I mean, this is his last event of the season. I think he's got to get a bump up for that, where it's not like, oh, well, you know, I'll just try to go low again next week. There's not a next week where he's going to be going out and playing. And so they're at 6.4%. I mean, he's got more majors than everybody in the field combined, pretty much. Or, you know, Patrick Reed's there, I guess, I suppose.
Patrick Reed only has one. So he's the old. Yeah, Adam Scott has two.
Yeah.
Well, so that's it.
I think Brooks Koepka has a lot of majors.
Yeah, he's got four. Yeah, he's got
four. So, I mean, it's ridiculous. And yeah, Adam Scott's got his major. He's living life too. I think that Brooks Koepka at that ownership, you have to have interest. And I was off of him last week, 0%. I think you were at 0%. You just didn't have any Brooks Koepka interest. And yeah, I'll have a little bit this week.
Me too. All right, now that we talked about somebody we're going to play in this range, I do want to talk about Jason Kokrak. Sets up for me almost identical to Brooks Koepka. 5% owned, just happens to be $1,100 cheaper. I do want to play. Let's talk about one guy we got to fade. I don't think that we can play Sam Burns, Taylor Gooch, and Aaron Wise. So pick Gooch or Wise to fade this week. You got to pick one to fade. Even if you're going to play both, tell me who you're going to have less of.
Okay, so, I mean, I'm going to have Sam Burns.
Yeah, we know that.
Yeah, that's a given. Also, I don't think he'll get over 20%, which is just beautiful, and I can't wait. But Taylor Gooch and Aaron Wise are 26% plus right now, the two highest in the field by a ways. Max Homa's down there at 8K, and he's getting 20%. Fade. I would be shocked if that ended up happening. I'm going to fade that, too, at that number. But, oh, my God, I love Gooch. I love Wise. I would rather play Gooch between the two. Gooch has been my guy. But even at 27.6%, I don't think I can get close to that when you have the rest of the range. And he played really bad on Sunday. It was one round, 74.
Otherwise, maybe that's why we
you guys have all heard. I just think Taylor Gooch is good, and Taylor Gooch has been good. And we've ridden this the entire fall swing. The Fortinet was nice. Shriners was nice. We've had some good finishes here. Mayakoba was good, obviously. I got to be feeling that, you know, I'm going to still have Gooch. Aaron Wise at 26.6 is a scary fade, especially if he can rake a couple putts in with that garden hoe that he's using. But I think go ahead.
No, I love it. I love the garden hoe. That's awesome. Man, that's, I haven't heard
that's
that
what
one.
It is.
He's I've heard the broomstick. I don't think I've heard of a garden hoe.
He took a rake from next to a bunker and was like, hey, I'll putt with this.
Hey, it's my putter.
Yeah. oh, great. But yeah, Taylor Gooch would be the priority of the two. But again, I'm not going to get close to 27% of any golfer in this kind of field. Except for
I was going to say, I may get to 27% or 30% of a golfer in this field, but it's likely not going to be either of these two guys. Simple thing I'm fading. I'm fading Taylor Gooch's Sunday round. I'm hoping that has a spillover effect into this week. And we finally are like, all right, we've had a great fall. We've got a couple of top fives, a top 10. I've made some money. It's time to go chill.
But he checks your box of like hits irons really well, generally
around the green,
and he's great around the green. So,
and had
his
best putting performance of his career at this golf course.
Legitimately, this golf course sets up perfectly for him.
It does. That's why he's 26% owned. Yeah. So that's my point. I think that I almost might play in the lineups that I play. I might just play them together.
Yeah.
And go 0% owned on the other guys, right? You know, and we'll get plenty of those.
That makes sense. Yeah, yeah. And again, I don't know about 0% of Aaron Wise. Again, it's a scary fade, but
it is.
You can have a little bit. You just have to be very selective. I mean, he has been really hot. And the other nice thing about him, he's now put up 20 straight. He's put up 20 birdies in his last three outings. At least 20 birdies is raising your floor so much on DraftKings. I mean, BMW Championship 17th, Sanderson Farms 26th. But I would be curious where his DK scoring finished relative in those events. I'll go back and look, but I got to be assuming he's still top 20 in that regard. So really hard to get away from that.
You fading Neiman with me? I know we talked about him. Just are you going to fade him based on his 15% right now?
I can't tell you. I would just say something because, you know, I want to give you a take, but Joaquin Neiman is going to be probably the most sensitive player I have to ownership between now and lock. Like he's probably the guy that I want to play. If he's sitting, if he's around 12 to 14, 15%, I want to be over that. If he's going to start trending up towards 18, 19, which I think is very possible. I mean, ownership was very different from Tuesday to Wednesday. And then it pretty much was in lockstep. Our ownership was pretty on it for Wednesday into the full tournament. I don't think that there were any blemishes at all there, but Joaquin Neiman is definitely going to be somebody sub 15%. Yes. Over 15%. No, especially because if I'm going to play Taylor Gooch chalk, which, you know, I'm still now talking myself being closer to the field on. It just sets up too well for him. And then hitting eject on most of Aaron Wise, I think I'm allowed to.
Yeah, it's great. Our chat, as I look into it, is pretty split on Gooch, it seems. Somebody wants to fade him. It looks like Tokyo TS is with me. And it looks like we've got a couple of other guys. I think I saw Brian saying he is in. Tim. Tim says he's in. So this will be interesting. I think it'll be a point of contention this week for sure.
Adam, here's the thing. Before we move on from this, because again, this is the strategy show and we're talking about this.
Yeah.
Stop looking at being right and wrong. Start looking at how I like a player based on the course, based on course history, which is, you know, smaller portion of it for me, based on course fit, based on recent form, based on long-term form, based on your belief in a player, but relative to the way that other people like them. Like, I think Taylor Gooch is a stud. I've been saying that for months. I've been on him every single week, pretty much nonstop for a long period of time when you started seeing the telltale signs there. But now you're just talking about him being a different price. You're talking about him being at a different ownership. You're talking about him being, you know, somebody else that is not falling through the cracks. And so stop worrying about being right and wrong, regardless of how he plays, and start trying to identify where the leaks in other people's games are.
Yep. Adam Scott, my note is he's here. I mean, I don't know what else to say other than
It's not
nice. He's been terrible off the tee this year and last year. I mean, he was ranked outside the top 100. That is very unlike him. Should get away with it a little bit at this course. I don't mind it, but I guess I'd rather play Koepka. I think if the ownership is really going to be half on Koepka, now Scott's only 10%, I think I'd rather find the 300 to get Koepka.
I will say, Adam Scott, if we want to talk wind, this is just a random thing that I noticed doing some research this morning, was he plays much, much better in windy conditions relative to a field. And there's different graphs you can kind of go find in places where you can get that kind of information. But Adam Scott, in calm conditions, and we're expecting some wind to pop up in the afternoons, 15 to 20 mile an hour, pretty much every single day, Thursday through Sunday for this golf tournament. In calm conditions, he's averaging just 1.06 strokes compared to the field. In moderate wind, 1.34. So he's gaining nearly 0.3 strokes more in moderate wind conditions over the last 100 rounds of golf. And then when it's super windy, 1.26. So I mean, 0.2, 0.3, it seems like a very nominal number. But a lot of times with a lot of these top tier guys, you'll see that number kind of decline down because they can't make as many birdies. Their holes in their golf game are kind of hidden. So he's somebody that, you know, and you'll find that with Australians, Europeans, some of these other guys, it can be noisy. It can be a very noisy stat, but I will say the one thing that I've definitely kind of noticed about him is he plays to relative, like he plays the more difficult tracks. He does pretty well in those kind of situations. I might have a little bit more Adam Scott interest than you do this week, especially because relative to his range, 9,600 coming in at 10-11%. I think that it's not that hard of a fit, especially if you're going to start builds, you know, Burns, Scott. I don't know if I can combine him with Gooch or Neiman in that kind of a regard, but I do think the Sam Burns, Adam Scott pairing isn't that far off of what I want to be doing.
Interesting. Okay.
Interesting. You're like, I completely disagree, but that's okay.
I try to be nice about when I disagree because sometimes
you should disagree though.
No.
Please tell me why I'm wrong.
I don't fully disagree. It's just, I don't think Adam Scott is 9,600 worth right now. I loved playing him when they gave us him in the value range. 9.6, we're getting 5 miles per hour, so we've got no wind advantage. He's a golfer that, again, if I'm making 150, he's definitely in my pool. I'm probably at or just below the field. Comparatively to Koepka, who's 300 more, I'd rather play him, and I'll definitely be more overweight Koepka than I will Scott, unless those ownerships flip. For me, I guess it's an ownership game rather than just play him outright. All right, a couple more.
I will say, though, his top 10 odds, I mean, he's plus 275 around plus 250, 275. He's projected to be one of the top 10 players, top 12 players in this field, regardless of any form there. 28-1, kind of the standard number for him. I'm kind of eyeing it, betting it. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. But he's got shorter odds to win than Aaron Wise, just throwing it out there.
Yeah, and obviously that's why his DK price is where it is, being a little higher than Wise's. Let's talk about a golfer that, based on our projections, is the second highest projected golfer under 9,000. Shane Lowry is only above this guy. Jason Kokrak, we've got a high projection on him and a low ownership. I'm going to guess that's going to lead Alex to quite a lot of allocation to Cold Crack this week. Will you follow Alex if I'm right? Could be wrong here. If I'm right, and for me, I kind of like Cold Crack. I certainly don't hate him this week at 5%. I mean, I can get 10%. I can have 15 lineups and be double the field. That's not bad.
So you want to factor in around the green, but we're going to roster Jason
Cole. But I don't, but it's 700 less than Neiman. So the opportunity cost for me, if Neiman was 8,600 or 8,700, I'd be playing him.
Yeah.
He's 9,500.
I mean, he's 8,800 is a crazy tag in this spot. It makes sense. No, it doesn't make sense. What am I saying? It doesn't make sense at all, but he played really well towards the end of the season, you know, 13th or 15th BMW championship, 11th tour championship among 30 golfers. So I guess there's nothing really to read out of that. So a decent enough finish in between there, but it is sandwiched between some really bad starts. I don't know how I feel about him right now. 5%. It's hard not to have interest in anybody in an 8K, 9K range in a field that isn't complete dog shit. Like, this is still a decent enough field, but I would rather play Seamus Power sub 5% right now, 8,400. That's my dude. I mean, I would much rather just be investing heavily in him and not worry about Coke Rack. But, you know, 5% is 5%. You're talking about Leishman, who I guarantee you is going to just continue to get steamed. Russell Henley, he's already kind of got that double digit ownership there. Bazeaton, who, that's your boy. Maverick McNeely's my boy, but he's 20%. It seems like all my guys are like 20% owned plus this week. Why? I used to get these guys at 5%. Am I that sharp? I can't be that sharp. Chat disagrees. I'm not that sharp.
You needed to cash in, basically, is what this is saying. And well, it seems like you've had a couple of good weeks. I no GPP win. So that's what needed to happen. Maybe it'll come this week and you'll split it with 9,000 of your friends because they're all so highly owned. Let's talk about Maverick McNeely, a blazing Sunday, gives him 20% owned. Would you rather own him coming off of a good Sunday or Shane Lowry, about half the ownership, roughly the same price? Lowry coming off a miscut.
Neither.
Okay. Don't have to go on anymore then. Let me talk about... you mentioned Russell Henley. You kind of brushed over him, said his ownership is already there. And we have Christian Bezuidenhout, who one guy can putt and chip extremely well. The other guy cannot putt. However, I tweeted at you midweek and I said, hey, dude, Russell Henley's got a claw grip now. Listen, nothing could be as bad as what he was doing before. So maybe this is a turning point for him. He played so bad over the weekend. Except for like the last 12 holes, I think he played at six under. So do we fade that into it? Or he was close to the top of the leaderboard in after rounds one and a half.
He got 25th at the CJ Cup, losing five strokes putting. I'll take anything. Did you see that?
Yeah, it's awful. And then he switched to the claw.
Horrendous. And then he switched to the claw because nothing could be worse. As you said, you might as well mix it up because if you're losing five shots, I mean, that's a lot. That's a problem. So I think Russell Henley, I think he's a good buy low candidate. He's lower owned than Maverick McNeely, same range, lower owned Mark Leishman. The ownership's already there a little bit, but 8,900 for me, it's not that I don't even like him. It's just that I prefer some of the 9K guys that I want to get to. I prefer Sam Burns, obviously. There aren't even that many 9K guys, I suppose. So maybe Russell Henley kind of gets lumped in as a result that, you know, he's 8,900. But Patrick Reed's 100 more. I would much rather play Patrick Reed. I would much rather get that $100.
All right. Ryan is telling me that he's not left-handed on Princess Bride. I don't understand that one. And then he asks you if it's honeymoon, Eric. It's not. This is pre-wedding, Eric. This isn't honeymoon. Pre-wedding. Eric. If you're on the show with me next week, which I have no idea if you're on your honeymoon or not.
I will not be here.
You will not be here. So that will be honeymoon, Eric. Maybe I'll try and call him or something while he's in.
Thank you.
Great place. You're going to Kapalua, man. It's just like it's everything where I want to be. Let's see, November, you might be a little early for the whales. I hope you're going to catch a couple of them. They normally come in January, you know, for the tournament champions. Yeah. It's all over our TVs. Anyways, okay. You, speaking of you, you're going to be on the Live Before Lock tonight with Greg. Great yes, show. Sir. That's going to be 6:30 and you're going to 6:33 start time. You're going to go until 8 o'clock because you're going to do a little something after lock. And if you are looking for the deeper dive, that's going to come in at 5:30. So we've got plenty of time here. We're not rushed out of here. That is with Luffy and Ship My Money DFS. That's just at, we're just going to call him Ship My Money. Don't even need to mention that it's Adam or not. Okay, let's talk about a couple of more guys in the top values now. We've talked about a lot of golfers in the fade range. And now one of the top values, a guy, get ready. People that have followed me for a long time know that I fade this guy perennially. However, 8,300, nobody wants to play him off the miscut at Mayakoba. But I'm going to tell you that he got a second place at the Zozo Championship. And I think this event is going to set up almost identically to the Zozo. It's Cameron Tringale, dude. I'm in this week. Maybe the first time ever.
Wow. Yeah. I did not expect that. I mean, he is terrible off the tee. He does everything else well.
That's what I want.
He puts out of his damn mind. So I get it. I get it. I just never play this guy, period.
I don't either, but this is it.
The Zozo was so tilting. I mean, it was really, really tilting. It was not fun. Sanderson Farms, decent enough there, gaining strokes all over the place. He's been pretty flat off the tee. So I guess that that's kind of been the nice positive to kind of get out of that. Coming off a miscut, if he's going to be around 10%, maybe I could see getting to about that number, but never my favorite, dude. I mean, these slap happy putters that never gain strokes off the tee, or sorry, never gain strokes approach unless, you know, they get hot one week. It's just, he's fine. I'm never enthusiastic about him. He definitely won't be a part of any main builds.
So one of the things that I noticed about the tournament last year here was exactly something you just said. Strokes gained off the tee. Only four golfers in the field gain more than a stroke.
Yep.
We don't see that often. That says to me, there's just not that many strokes to gain off the tee here.
Agreed.
A lot of missed fairways. So I think it fits into Cam Tringale's pretty well. I like him as one of my top values. Other top values. It seems as though the public believes Mackenzie Hughes and Harold Varner are the top two, as they're the only golfers we have projected over 10%, under 8,000. Of those two, I called the Harold Varner cut last week or fade last week. I really liked it. I'm back in this week. I think it's a much better setup, not as hard off the tee, and he's been doing everything else super well. And I like Mackenzie Hughes too, so help me pick one to fade. Or Eric, do you think we can diversify with, say, Brooks Koepka up top and play both of them in this spot?
Last week was not a Harold Varner kind of situation. We both talked about that. Neither one of us had any interest. I have interest in Harold Varner this week for sure. I love when it comes off a miscut of a golf course that sets up completely different. And then you go to another place and people act as though they're playing golf based on their last tournament. And it's just not true. It's not indicative of what they're going to face in the future. Don't put past results and always say that automatically, you know, it means that they're going to be struggling. If somebody plays well on any golf course, I think that you can carry momentum into something else too, as long as it's not a completely different flip of a setup. But when somebody plays bad, that's when you start getting some of these ownership discounts. I think you're getting a definite ownership discount at Harold Varner there. The one thing I'll say though, is that I think Mito Pereira, it's the exact same number.
Here we go.
It's a better play.
Can you imagine? He was $300 more than Neiman last week. One miscut and they're separated by 1,800.
Yep.
Listen, I know Mito's
welcome
a
to PGA DFS.
But I think I'm in. Nobody wants to play this guy all of a sudden.
Yeah, I'm gonna have a ton of Mito Pereira. He's so I have a circle. I have my little sheet that I write out, and it was Harold Varner. I'm gonna have way too much of.
Yep.
And I'm going to have way too much Mito Pereira. Those are the two guys that I kind of had circled at the same number, but I prefer Mito.
Let's continue with this miscut theme, because Pereira and Varner are two of the guys mm-hmm. miscut last week. I've got a plethora of names right now that I think you're going to like a lot of them. Woodland, Streelman, Vegas. Well, I'm not done. Hoffman, Poulter, Grillo, Knox, Pendrith, Willett, all coming off a miscut. All, in my opinion, set up better on this golf course than last week. Seven names there. Give me your top three.
Top three out of all of them there. It will not be Gary Woodland projected really well for us. I'm just not going to
You know how we missed the cut, right? I don't know if you're following like I was, because
I did not. The only one I followed was Ian Poulter, and that 18. One really hurt.
You know, bogey on 18 for Woodland to miss. He was at four. But and it was a terrible bogey too. It didn't update for like 20 minutes, so you had to know a bogey was coming. Tell me about what happened to Ian Poulter on 13, because he tweeted about it.
Oh, it was a disaster. He just got one bad swing.
He was in the top 10.
He was in the top 10, and then all of a sudden he missed the cut, and it was over. Quick little dub. And then he just was also... Ian Poulter's the kind of guy who just runs hot, and when he has something like that happen, it just kind of... It boils over, and it continued to boil over there. He couldn't... He starts forcing the issue, and again, I don't want to get too subjective about it, but yeah, he just kind of... Definitely lost the momentum, and it was done. But so that was, I would say my favorite is probably Kevin Streelman, especially coming off a week last week where he was popular and is somebody, yeah, nobody wants to play him this week. We're just not going to play Kevin Streelman at 5%. I mean, I don't think this is Connecticut, but I still don't care. I'm going to definitely be rostering him here in this spot. You got what I was getting at, but
of course.
Yeah, Kevin Streelman, I'm fine coming off of a miscut at the Mayakoba. Let's fire him up at 5%. He's a better player than the range. Anywhere that you go to look up his stats, pretty flat. He's just good. He's just solid. He's never going to impress you to some extreme end. You know, 54 strokes gained off the tee, mainly because he doesn't hit it very far. But strokes gained approach, 23rd in his last 50 rounds. Putting has been eh, but like he's a good player and better than 5% in his range. So I'd probably say he's the priority for me.
Okay.
I'm kind of having a tough time with the rest of them.
Are you in on Poulter? Hold on. Are you in on Poulter?
Absolutely.
Oh, me too. Absolutely. Okay. Just making sure
we're both in. Ian Poulter. Did we even talk about Ian Poulter? Where's he at? What was his
7,300, man. Yeah.
70. Oh, yeah. He's my favorite player of the range, and it's not remotely close. Okay. Like 7,300, I'm going to have just a crazy amount of him. So underneath Mito, underneath Varner, Ian Poulter, just going to be a huge part of my builds. Did you die? What just happened?
No, I hit my mic stand. So sorry about
Tyler Zander, shake your head in shame. Just shame.
I'm sorry, Tyler. Apologize about that.
He's like, I'm talking golf. I want to talk Aggie football. That's all he wants to do all day. That's for, no, he doesn't want to do that anymore because they suck. Okay, good. Yeah.
Johnny Vegas home game.
Yes.
Okay.
Don't mind him, but Jonathan Vegas, if he's 5%, I will eat chalk on stream. There's no way. There's no way. He's going to be 10% plus.
You want to pair the home game guys together, or is that too narrative based?
Too narrative based. We're talking about, hey, congratulations, your home game, but if you don't play well, you're not going to beat the best players in the world.
Speaking of the best players in the world, this guy used to be the best player in the world. Oh, man. Not so much anymore. Chat just told us he had his 75th baby. No, I don't know how many babies he has, but he is a new father again, like myself. Sleep may be small and little right now, but Jason Day is here. We have no idea if his back is genetically fused or whatever he's got going on. Who knows? 7,400. Are you ready to play this guy again, or are you going to just wait a long time or never again?
No, not playing.
Now pick your Korn Ferry Tour golfer that is playing pretty well and all in the mid sevens. Ready? Taylor Moore,
Chad Ramey,
Chad Ramey, and Mateus Schwab. Ramey?
Yeah, Ramey. The 7K range is great again. It worked really well last week. Playing, my top tier guys spattering the 7K range. And I kind of made stands on guys like JJ Spawn, made stands on like just some of the lower owned pieces under 7K, under 7,500. And I think that I'm going to be doing a lot of the same things this week. It's going to be pretty concentrated to Sam Burns, Scottie Scheffler, then the 9K range, probably some Taylor Gooch. Of course, we had talked about him, Joaquin Niemann, depending on kind of where everybody lands there. Seamus Power, really the only 8K guy that I'm going to get to in bulk, period. Like probably the only 8K guy that I really want to get to a lot of. And then it's Mito, it's Varner. And then on the bottom end, you're talking about, for me, Chad Ramey. He's just good, right? Chad Ramey, we said he was going to be good and he's good. That's fun. Let's keep playing him.
I mean, let's keep playing him, especially if they don't want to price him up to 8K. Mateus Schwab, Euro guy, been playing well-ish. You're shaking your head. That's fine. Let me skip
over. I've got a guy at 7K that I have a lot of interest in, and I want to get your thoughts on him because I don't know what I want to do. Like, right now, if the slate were to start and he's at 7K, he's right now coming in with 6% ownership and he's not projecting well at all. But if the slate started now at 6%, I would probably have 25% plus of him. Henrik Norlander. He's just somebody that I think outperforms in some of these spots. Barbasol, Sanderson Farms, two top fives. He gets so crazy hot with the iron sometimes that it's undeniable. And then I think that his kind of calling card as a player, Henrik Norlander is just going to be somebody who around around the greens is never going to impress you, but that iron play is great. And you're getting the bump off the tee where he's not very good in that department. And if he can be just competent there, he's going to be flag hunting in a lot of spots. And I don't know. I'm giving a big bump to Henrik Norlander. Where are you landing on him?
Probably slightly above the field at 6%, 8 to 10%. I think one of the reasons is, and I got a lot of names in this range that I think are all pretty good golfers playing well. Before I get to those, though, just your quick thoughts. Sebastian Munoz, Cam Davis, little more pricey than the flat sevens, but guys that we know can outperform those prices. Do you like either to have a bounce back week?
Cam Davis, 3% is weird.
Yeah, that to me really stuck out. It was like, whoa, 3%? This guy won 2.5 months ago.
It's hard not to have interest in these kind of fields for anybody above 7K who's coming in at 3%, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, especially when we're going to be in this range a lot if we like the top guys. So, okay, looks like we're both in
the problem is Ian Poulter is 7,300, and he's just probably the most... I would be shocked if he was sub 10% as well. I'm just going to throw it out there. Ian Poulter. Poulter
feels like if people really look into that 13th hole and see that the guy was in the top 10 basically before one bad swing, they're going to play him this week. I totally agree.
Bermuda grass, Florida guy, Texas, played one at Houston Open, obviously different golf course, different circumstances, but
I played that golf course too, by the way. That was a tough golf course.
I just remember he made that
stone, I think, and then it became the Golf Club of Houston. Anyways. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Here's the golfers that I would pair up to Norlander. Why I wouldn't play him 25%. Again, it's a five of them. So Harry Higgs, Ryan Palmer, Brian Harman, Joel Damon, Keith Mitchell, Martin Laird, all at 7,000. I think all of them measure up to Norlander pretty well. I like them all. If I had to take one out, Brian Harman is playing really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe wait, as you and I said, wait until he's 6,800 next week and go all in regardless of his form.
Yep.
I think we're really trending that way right now.
We should be. I mean, he's 1.7% last week. I had 0%. It's so weird Xing him out of a player pool. It was a very difficult thing to do
last year. He was so good. Put up 80 points every week.
And he's good. And people generally didn't want to roster him anyway. So you'd always get him low owned because he's just a short slapper, or that's the impression of him. And it's not that pronounced. He's just a short lefty that for whatever reason, people never like to play, despite the fact that, you know, short game, he's a beast from time to time. He's around the green, just a beast from time to time. Putter's pretty decent. Everything kind of checks, but man, his irons are so bad that there's not really words for it. And when a guy like that, I don't know about that.
Yeah,
I don't know. They're both kind of in the same pool of like, what are we doing here? But Brian Harman, yeah, definitely no. Even at 1.7%, I just got done saying you should have interest in everybody, and that's 3%. I have no interest in Brian Harman again.
All right, let's go on to a bomb since we've got, you know, about 5 minutes left, and we did, like we said, spawn last week. Even Vincent Whaley, who's 6,400 this week, came in last but put up 80 DraftKings points, Eric. I mean, we can't knock the guy. Over 20 birdies, but I think he had 17 bogeys to go with that. We can start with Vincent Whaley first. Do you have any interest? I liked him a lot last week, but I think I'm coming off him a bit this week.
Yeah, I'm not going to play a lot of Vincent Whaley. I might have a smattering, but not my favorite play, period. I think that there are some interesting players down here as we're starting to round it out. But yeah
I got one.
He's not one of them. Go ahead.
I got one. He's got to have good mojo. Reason why is because he broke Victor Hovland's driver, which then forced Hovland to get a driver from, now, again, we don't know if it's John Hart or James Hahn. They were both said on the telecast. Regardless, he got a driver from one of them. It was a little bit shorter, so he wasn't able to hit it as far, and he hit a tremendous amount of fairways and won the tournament. So the good mojo is now going to go over to Denny McCarthy, who is the one who was swinging Hovland's club when he broke it. Plus, McCarthy has been playing pretty well, typically known... Actually, in an interview, he said he was the best putter in the world, believe it or not, which kind of blows my mind, thinking he's better than Jordan Spieth, which is crazy. But Denny McCarthy, 6,500, I actually like him a lot.
I can probably play a little bit of him. I'm okay with it. 15th, Mayakoba, but I don't really care about that tournament comparatively. Sanderson Farms, 17th. I mean, he's had some decent enough finishes here.
That's why I want to play him.
The opportunity cost is not that high, sub 7K. You can kind of figure out your guys. Everybody was saying Sepp Straka there earlier in the chat. Of course, I'm going to have some Sepp Straka. Yeah, I can't quit this guy. I'm just broke back mountain for him. I can't quit you. I can't do it. Sepp Straka.
I mean, he has made three straight cuts, if that helps you.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's improvement. It's improvement okay, off of the MCs. He basically was MCing my wedding with how many MCs he had. It was just Schreiner, Sanderson, Fortinet, Northern Trust, Wyndham made a cut. 3M miscut. John Deere, Rocket Mortgage. Then makes a cut of Travelers. Palmetto, Memorial, Sanderson. So that's three. But yeah, when he does well, he finishes top 30. So there you go. Have fun.
James Hahn is playing some pretty inspired golf. I think he did fulfill his medical card. Top 15 at Zozo, backed up with the top 30 here. He and Sahith Theegala have some of the best form down here. I like both of them. And
me too.
We are back in now after I lambasted you maybe last week or the week before for it. We're back in on Aaron Rye, brother.
Oh, yeah. I played Aaron Rye.
I lambasted you for it because I thought he was a terrible play. And he came in 15. It was a good start.
Yeah. So you suck and I'm the best. There we go. End of story. Yeah.
So we're both in this week, it seems like.
Yeah. I'm playing Aaron Rye. He's way better than people think he is. You play guys until people appreciate them. And, you know, obviously people appreciate all my other plays now. Sam Burns getting crazy amounts
it's
of
one that it's not getting enough love yet. So maybe
Aaron Rye gets no love. So we got to keep going. In. 15th Mayakoba. I thought I was going to be a lot better than that personally. I thought I was in a really, really good spot with him too. He was pretty much in all of my best builds. I had like 30, not 30. That's a lie. I had like 25, 26% last week and I will again this week.
Are we at a point where we cannot play Jaeger on DFS and we just bet him on the top five, like you and I have suggested, because he's missing too many cuts?
Yep.
Okay. That's simple. Wyndham Clark. I put his name down here because I think it's a better setup. We saw something come around at Zozo, which again, Zozo, believe it or not, I am comparing a lot to this week. I think it sets up very similar.
Yeah.
So I do like Wyndham Clark this week. He's in there with Denny McCarthy for me.
Okay. I don't mind it.
Okay.
I don't mind it.
All right. Coming up on the 5 o'clock mark. So I've mentioned a lot of my plays down here. I'll run through three more. Doc Redman and Brant Snedeker both finally made a cut last week. So maybe you can think about them. Francesco Molinari was 4 under through six holes and ended up 4 over through 36.
He also holed out twice. So don't go crazy with him. He was just
Molinari
out of his mind luck box.
Ben must have been going crazy about
that. Yeah, and then he wasn't.
And then he was like, oh, thank God I faded him and continued to do. All right, so give me your – oh, wait. I have one more name.
I've got
seems
a guy.
Really cheap. Peter Uihlein was just 7,800 in a field similar to this. Now 6,400. No one wants to own him. I'll have some of Uihlein. Give me your top play under 7,000 as we get out of here.
Yeah, so top guy under 7,000 is all the way down at 6,200. He's a late add to the tournament. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Wait, was he added for Ortiz?
Yeah.
Oh, it's
Sang Moon Bay.
Oh my God,
he's 6,200. I am playing an egregious amount of this dude's in large field tournaments.
Added for Ortiz, by the way.
Oh, he wasn't. I thought he was 6,200. I know he was added.
Monday qualified.
Oh,
and not
God.
Only Monday qualified, went 37 on the front nine, didn't walk off the golf course, and shot 28 on the back nine to make it. Love that, dude?
I love him. I love this guy. So again, for people who don't know, Korean, when you're Korean, you have to serve 2 years military service and there's no exemption unless you win an Olympic medal. And so you have to win an Olympic medal in order to get it. A major championship does not exempt you from service in the military.
Correct.
And so the guy was at the height of his powers. He goes and serves his 2 years, comes back as dust. I think he might be starting to find it here and there at spots. Shot 77 that makes that that finish. Was it in Bermuda?
Yeah.
He shot 77. I can't remember the last tournament we just saw him in because I had a bunch of him.
Bermuda. And yeah, it was Bermuda.
Bermuda.
Right.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
It was too bad.
And he
was
played bad until he shot 77 the last round. And I saw that he got added to the field in that little email from DraftKings, and I just started salivating. So I'm going to have a scary about of him.
Sang
Moon miscut. Obviously, that's the chalky answer. Aaron Hines. I appreciate you throwing it in there, but he's 6,200 and I want to play all the Sam Burns. I got to find some guys in 6K and I can make a lot of cases because from a pure talent perspective, he's got it. He is not a 6,200 player.
Okay. Last play. This guy made the cut last week. He's at 6,100. It's Kevin Tway. I'll probably click his name because I'm a sick man for that. I want some money off of him one time when he won. Yeah. Anyways, Kevin Tway.
That's the logic. I won money with him one time. Bill Haas finished 45th at the Mayakoba. Just roster him instead.
Yeah, I might. There's some guys down there that Chase Koepka is also here in the field. That's all I got to say. Well, Eric is heading on his honeymoon to Kapalua. I am not. I am going to be here for the RSM Classic. I'm hoping they give me Ben in your place. But if I end up with Jeff, I'll be just as happy to.
Oh, wow. One shots of those fired. Two guys.
No. Listen, Ben and I go way back. In any case, RSM Classic next week down in Sea Island, Georgia. That'll end our fall swing. So you've got 2 weeks to build up that bankroll for the NFL swing, and Turkey Day's coming around. That's my favorite NFL slate. So let's get it this week. We'll see you next week for the RSM Classic. Thanks for joining, everybody. See you on the other side. Cheers.